Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 for one verse I want to read this morning. Would you bow your head with me as we ask for God's special attention, anointing in this part of the service. Father, we're thankful today. Thank you today for your grace and your mercy and your presence. Thank you, Father, for your word. I pray that you'd allow it to speak to us this morning. I pray that you would give us the anointing that is needed. Give me the anointing that I need in preaching this message that you have pressed on my heart this week. I pray that you would give us the anointing that we all need in our hearing and within the soil of our soul. You're aware of who we are. You're aware of where we are. It's not a matter of you asking, "Where art thou?" but you know where we are this morning. Pray that you would shut us in your presence for a little while this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Verse number 15 of Hebrews chapter 12. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. It may be that your memory goes back and you're recalling me preaching from this message or this verse times past. Bear with me this morning as God has pressed it on my heart again. Looking diligently, looking focused, intentionally, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, thereby many be defiled. I'm going to switch. Thereby many be defiled. It's hard to imagine sometimes, realize sometimes how God works, how God plans, and how God orchestrates all that he needs to orchestrate. How God works in the circumstances and the focus of our lives. How God works in the circumstances and situations of our lives. Somewhere along the line, God has intended for this verse to stand out in our minds. Somehow, for some reason, God intended for this verse to be in the Scriptures. Normally, we have a focus. We have a focus normally on this verse with the preceding verse. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. We cannot follow peace with all men. We cannot follow and pursue holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. If we are still wrapped up in the problems of this particular verse, looking diligently, lest anyone fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up. Now that would tell me that there's something that can happen in your life or in my life that'll create something working within us that'll cause a bitterness to come up. Bitterness has defiled many people. I've run across it this week more times than I care to count, more times than I care to relay. The reality that bitterness can creep up into an individual's life and sometimes even in a person's life that you or I would have a hard time believing that they would find bitterness as a problem within. I can go back a long time. I can go back way back before I was ever even realized in the circumstances of a particular story in Evansville of a man that when I came on the scene, he had been blind in his eyes for a number of years. But if we go back into the early part of his life, and my memory serves me correctly, Nello had been a Christian. He had been trying to follow God. He had read the Bible through, I don't know how many times, countless times perhaps. He had walked with God. There was a problem in Nello's life. It was a standing, outstanding problem. It was a circumstance that if you or I were to look at him in our knowledge and in the midst of our reflection of what a Christian would be, we might have a problem with Nello. Nello was doing everything that he knew to do and walking with Christ.
They decided that they were going to start a church in Evansville. It ended, ultimately was the church that I had pastored for 12 years. But this was way before my time. Back in 1954, they were establishing the old Pilgrim Holiness Church on East Riverside Drive. The pastor at the time was trying to establish who could be members and who could not be members. Nello was not allowed to be a member because he smoked a cigarette. He looked at his scripture. He went to the pastor. He said, "I don't understand why I can't be a member." And his problem was that he had read the Bible through and he could not see in the Bible where it said you can't light up and smoke a Marlboro. He didn't understand that. But he did see in God's word that you could not commit adultery. You could not live in that kind of a setting. And yet the pastor at the church, the one that was starting the church, allowed people into membership who were considered, at least in Nello's mind, to be living in adultery. That embittered his heart. He said, "Well, that's ridiculous." No, it's not ridiculous. Now, it may be ridiculous to me because I don't have that issue. I don't have that issue where it's going to cause me to have a problem. But for Nello, it was a big stumbling block to him that he wasn't allowed to be a charter member of the church because of something that he couldn't even see was in Scripture. Instead of working with him and trying to walk with him, the door was just shut on him. And Nello became bitter. Nello still went to church every Sunday. He was still faithful to pay his tithes. He was still faithful to read the Bible, but there was something that had sprung up in his heart that was called bitterness. And it made him angry. It made him hurt. Bitterness will hurt you more than it'll hurt anybody else. Things began to progress in Nello's life and he began to lose his eyesight, and within a short period of time he was not able to see at all. Lost his ability to drive, and if you know anything about people that losing their ability to drive, it takes away a whole lot of independence, and that's a hard thing especially for a man. That Nello was, even in the loss of his eyesight, he still continued to mow his grass, still continued to plant a garden. He still continued to trim around the fence and around the flower beds. And he planted his elephant ears every single spring. And in the fall, he knew right where they were to dig them up and take the bulbs inside. I came on the scene in 1995. I met Nello. Nello was a faithful supporter of the church. He was a faithful supporter of the pastor. He always had a kind word to say. His wife would pull up into the parking spot and he would get out of the car. He knew exactly how many steps it was that he would take to the steps of the church and pull open the door, and how many steps it was to the next set of steps. And he would walk up there, and how many steps it was to the drinking fountain. He always had to have a drink at the drinking fountain before he went in and sat down. There was something about that cooler, that drinking fountain water. He had at home the same city water, but he had to have it out of that drinking fountain on his way in. He knew how many steps it was inside the sanctuary, and he took a left, and how many steps it was down the back of the church, and he knew exactly how far it was, and then he would turn and walk up, and he knew right where his spot was. He was there early enough. He didn't have to worry about anybody else sitting in there. And it's not like we were packed in Evansville on a normal, regular basis anyway. So he would walk up and sit down. When church was over, if it wasn't over at 12, I was told that he would get up and walk out. He had an instinct to know when 12 o'clock was. I don't know that I ever went over 12 o'clock to find out, but Nello was always there, and I began to pray for him when I met him, began to talk to him and get into his life, get into his mind, and found out that this bitterness was just years later, that bitterness was still harbored within his heart. It didn't hurt the pastor back then. Oh, he went on to greatness. If I called his name, a number of you would remember him. You would have heard him. He was a pillar in the church. He was a big name in the community. Didn't hurt him at all, but it hurt Nello. Began to talk to his wife. I said, Rui, I think that if Nello would let go of that bitterness, God would heal him. God would restore it. She said, no, preacher. Brother Ziegler, no, the optometrist said way back when he lost his eyes that his optic nerves were completely dead. And I said, Rui, that doesn't make sense to me because he knows the difference between daylight and dark. If his optic nerve was dead, it would tell me that he couldn't see one way or the other. And she said, well, that's what he said. I said, I'm going to be praying that God's going to heal him of the bitterness and heal him of his eyesight. Nello was bitter. Did I say that before? Nello was bitter. Nello had a harboring within that was keeping him from enjoying the grace of God and peace within his heart. Nello was a bitter man. I'd say, Nello, you've got to let that go. He's long gone now. He's out of the picture now. The problem that existed in your life is long gone now. He would wear me out when he would tell me all of the exercises that he as a blind man would do. So many minutes and on his bicycle, his stationary bicycle, and so many sit-ups and so many push-ups. And he'd wear me out just letting me listen to this 80-some-year-old man talk about his exercise. Blind man. Nello, you've got to let go of the bitterness. No, preacher, I'm not. No, he did me wrong back then. Over the years, his heart began to soften. And you could see a change in Nello. You could see, you could hear a change in Nello as his heart began to soften. And you could see grace of God beginning to work in his life to where he was able to tell me that he had forgiven that former pastor, that founding pastor of the church. He had forgiven him. He knew that he was no longer bitter about it. And his wife went to a brand new optometrist for herself. And she was talking to him about her husband and he said, I'd like to examine him sometime. And so she did. She took him in. And he said, I believe that he could see again. They took him in. And before we left Evansville, before he died, he had vision in both eyes. Wasn't as clear as what you and I would think of because they weren't able to get on in there and do the final procedure that the doctor had prescribed that wanted to do because his health began to decline. But before he died, the bitterness was gone and his vision was restored. He had all of us march in, the whole Ziegler family march in. He wanted to see what we looked like. He had heard our voices, but he wanted to see what we looked like now. He had his family march in so that he could see what they looked like. Some of them he had never met before by vision. He had only heard them by voice. A change took place in Nello's life. I believe that Nello's in heaven this morning. Years and years of bitterness that had eaten away at the inside of Nello's heart and had driven him to the point that he was angry, angry at God and angry at people around him that had caused this bitterness that he thought, you know, sometimes people cause bitterness in our lives. Sometimes, and it's inadvertent sometimes, that pastor had no intention of bringing about that kind of bitterness in that man's life. It was inadvertent, and sometimes people have inadvertent bitterness over somebody else. Not only does it happen where we have bitterness from an individual, but sometimes we have bitterness because of what God does. Sometimes God does things to us. You can go back into the Old Testament, into the book of Jonah. Into the last chapter of Jonah, you'll read that Jonah was angry. Now, I don't know how you define anger, but I define anger with a little bit of bitterness wrapped up in that definition. He was angry. Jonah was angry at God. Why would Jonah have to be angry at God? God was a merciful God. God was a just God. Why would he have any reason whatsoever to be angry at God? We can go back into the early part of that book and you'll find that God called Jonah to do a task in Nineveh. And Jonah said, no, I don't like that task. I don't want that task. I'm not going to do that task. And so he ran off and he found himself in its troubled waters and found himself in the belly of a big prepared fish. And he found out in the belly of that big fish that you can't have lying vanities before God. And eventually he confessed his need, confessed to God that he would go ahead and do what God was asking him to do. That big fish spewed him out, vomited him out on the shore. He went on into Nineveh and he preached the message that God wanted him to preach. And when it was all said and done, in the last chapter, we find Jonah coming back out of Nineveh, and he was angry because God did not kill the people of Nineveh like he said that he would do if they did not repent. Well, the people repented. And Jonah got bitter with God. It was so bad. It was so bad. You read it. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. In verse number 3, Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me. It is better for me to die than to live. The Lord prepared a gourd. A little bit of a blessing, but because he was still bitter in his heart, God prepared a worm to come and kill the gourd. And in the midst of that there, the bitterness showed itself even more keenly, more aware of what that was going on and doing in the heart of Jonah, because he was showing more compassion for the gourd than he was for the people of Nineveh. We don't find in the remaining verses of that chapter, the remaining verses of that book, that Jonah ever found his way back to a place of repentance and a forgiveness because of the bitterness within his heart. Angry. Angry because of what God had done. You say, well, that's absurd. That's crazy. But the reality is that you and I, every single one of us here this morning, are going to face either the possibility of somebody doing something to us or the possibility that God will allow something to happen in the midst of our lives that could develop within a heart of bitterness springing up and troubling us, thereby many be defiled. Elizabeth Elliot said it this way. Elizabeth Elliot, do I need to give an introduction at all to Elizabeth Elliot? Did she have any problems? Did she suffer any bad, severe consequence of evil? Did she have any heartbreak and hardship in life? She had tremendous amount. This is what she said. I can testify with all my heart that in acceptance lieth peace. And by acceptance, I mean a simple-willed act of saying, Lord, I don't like it. I don't understand it. I don't know how I'm going to bear it. But by your grace, I'll take it. My answer is yes. My answer is yes. And when you know the story of Elizabeth Elliot, you can understand the magnitude of that yes, rather than a heart of bitterness to what God had allowed to take place in her life or the people that did what had happened in her life. Her heart was saying, her answer to God was saying, I don't like it, I don't understand it, I don't know how I'm going to bear up under it, but I will do it according to your purpose. I say yes. It was November 23, 1999. Perhaps to this day, the worst day of my life. My heart was broken. I laid on the bed. I don't even want to share this. It hurts too much. I prayed, asked God to not require me. I've faced and seen bitterness this week. More than I care to understand, more than I care to try to share. But that day, November the 23rd, 1999, was the worst day of my life. Somebody sometime later had heard and went back in their devotional book that they had been reading, and on that particular day, that Tuesday before Thanksgiving, 1999, she photocopied it and sent it to me. This is what it said. The tests of life are to make, not break us. Trouble may demolish a man's business, but build up his character. The blow at the outward man may be the greatest blessing at the inner man. Listen, I've given this to you before. It may register in your mind and in memory. Maltby Babcock is the one that said it. Listen to what it said. What is said here? If God then puts or permits anything hard in our lives. If God then puts or permits anything hard in our lives, be sure that the real peril, the real trouble, is what we lose if we flinch or rebel. Now, I didn't have that on the day that I was experiencing the bad day, but I was able to reflect on that and realize that even though God permits, or even God puts in my pathway something that is painful, something that is of anguish, that I can trust in Him. I can know that He will lead me. I don't know about how the GPS is going to take me from one place to another. It's failed me so many times, but I know that God will never fail. If I go over to Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 22. Jesus here, nearing the end of his life, he took the cup. You know the cup that he's talking about? He was giving them the Passover meal and the cup of wine, the cup of the New Testament in his blood. He was instituting that. He was teaching his disciples. He said he took the cup. Now he knew what was in the cup. He knew what the cup represented. He knew that there was a lot of people that would be saved because of the outcome of this cup. The New Testament in his blood. He said he took the cup and he gave thanks. Just let that sink in for a little bit. He gave thanks. In my Bible, I flip over the page and I come to the time when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's praying and he's asking God to remove the cup. Now that cup may differ a little bit, but it still has a little bit of the same connotation. There's a connection between the two cups. And he's praying, oh God, would you see fit to remove the cup? But just moments before, just a few hours before, he gave thanks for the cup. And in this garden scene, when he's asking God to remove the cup, he also included in that prayer, and he included in that scene, not only praying and asking God to remove it, but he said, nevertheless, Father, not what I want, but what you want. It's too hard for us to, and mind-boggling for us to grasp the reality that perhaps Jesus could have been bitter over what God the Father was asking him to do, but he gave thanks for the cup, and then he surrendered to the cup, and then he fulfilled that cup. I don't know exactly what's going in your mind this morning and what you're facing exactly. I'm not walking your road. I'm not facing what you're facing. And I don't know exactly why God would put this on my heart so intensely for this Sunday morning. I wanted to go another route. I guarantee you I did. lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. What was it that Joseph had to say in the Old Testament? Joseph said the original purpose of it all was evil, but God intended it for good. We could spend 10 or 15 minutes reiterating what took place in the life of Joseph and how he went from his father's house and went through the dungeon, went through a lot of problems and difficulties and hardships, and it would have been easy for Joseph to become bitter. But when he faced his brothers, he said what was originally intended for evil, God meant it for good. I think about the Old Testament character by the name of Job. What was it that Job said after he had lost so many things and he had his wife turn on him as well and say, curse God and die. Why do you retain your integrity? Why don't you just give all of this up? You want to talk about losses. Job had some losses, some intense and painful losses. And yet we realize even after his comforters who came to comfort him continued to tear him down, to kick him down, and to boost him on down the road over the cliff, they tried to throw him. What was it that Job said of God? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. His purpose, his heart was surrendered to the purpose of God. Paul the Apostle in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you can read it sometime, verses 23 to 29, reiterate all the problems that the Apostle Paul had experienced. Rightfully so, he would say. He said, I took Christians' lives. I tried to disrupt and dismantle the Christian church. He said, God has every reason to bring this upon me. No, he didn't say it in those exact words, but I'm trying to put myself in Paul's situation, because when it came down to the end of it, he said, if I need to glory, I will glory in my infirmities. He said, if I can suffer all of this stuff so that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. There wasn't any sorrow in Paul's life. There wasn't any angst in Paul's heart. He was still completely surrendered to everything that he had to endure and experience. I loved church history when I was in college. Took a little bit of it when I was in high school, but it meant more to me in college. A man by the name of Polycarp in our early histories of the church in the early part of our Christian church, brought down to the end of his life, and he was commanded to renounce his faith. He wasn't going to be allowed to live if he didn't renounce his faith. It was the end of the road for Polycarp. But in the final command to renounce, his answer was this: for 86 years I have been his servant, and he has done me no wrong. He went on to say some more things. They lit the fire. That's got to be one of the most painful things is burns. They lit the fire. They stripped him of his clothes. He was going to go to his death even as Jesus went to his death, naked and in a shameful way. The fire was burning. Polycarp was bound. He made his way to the fire and they threw him into the fire, but he would not burn. And they noticed that he was not burning, so an executioner was called and a dagger was thrust through his heart in order for him to die. I'm not signing up for that, are you? I'm not signing up for that. But what it does tell me, that no matter what God brings my way, no matter what people bring my way, it doesn't matter what God allows or what God permits or what God does. Everything he does for the purpose of building my character and purifying my heart and preparing me for heaven. It doesn't matter what you're facing this morning. It doesn't matter where you've been today. It doesn't matter what's taking place in your life. I didn't intend to end this way, but if you would prepare a song, my wife. Is God speaking to your heart? Are you dealing with something? Maybe bitterness hasn't sprung up, but you feel the seed of bitterness beginning to crack its outer shell. There's an altar here to pray. God can mend. God can fix. God can heal that hurting heart this morning. Let's stand together with your heads bowed, making it easier for somebody to step out if they'd like to step out. It could be that God has prepared this and pressed me with this for these that are here this morning, but I kind of wonder if there's somebody else. Looking diligently, intentionally, staying focused on the reality that God never fails. God never seeks your hurt, but only your well-being, your spiritual health. Is God speaking to you this morning? Why don't you come and pray? Let's have a good season of prayer before you go home today. Anybody else want to come? Anybody else need to come? Don't go home and carry the bitterness. It'll just eat you up. It'll destroy your life. It'll defile your soul. Play it through one more time, and we're going to gather in and pray. Wherever He may lead me. Songwriter said, there's no turning back, I believe is in that song. Father in heaven, thank you today for the anointing and your presence and your voice. These that have come, I pray that you would give them victory today. For those that would need to go, I pray that you would allow the presence of the Holy Spirit to go with them step by step, and may you continue to speak to our hearts. We need you, desire you, and we trust you today. Keep your hand upon us. Give victory to those that are here at the altar, I pray. In Jesus' name. Those of you that would like to, please gather in. Let's have a good time of prayer, focused prayer for these that are here this morning. If you must go, please go quietly and reverently. Trust God for victory this morning.